There are many decisions in life which we make that will determine what sort of a life you and I will live. Some of these decisions even face us very early in life. Decisions even at school or further education. And what sort of study we will determine in life. And I often wonder about many young people and the degrees they take. They never seem to follow that. But it opens up other avenues of education, of work and so on for them. My mother used to say to me, you know, education's easy carried. That's getting it's the problem. But there are many who have these things and they make different decisions for life. I love reading biographies. And I love listening to men talking about their life and what they did in life, the decisions they made in life, and so on. And I always find it very interesting. I remember when I was a young fella, I was going to join the Merchant Navy. And I got a job that would get me into that Navy. And I went down one day to the office, and no one talked to me or bothered with me. It was like an out-of-body experience. I was standing there, everybody ignored me, and I couldn't go to the counter. I was amazed at it. And I cycled 4 miles down, I had to cycle 4 miles up again to home. And of course, I know now the Lord was preventing me from making a mess of my life. For had I gotten away, I'd probably been in hell long ago, the type of life I was going to live. But I'm glad the Lord stopped me, and I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm in Christ tonight. I'm glad I'm on the way to glory. But these are things that happen to us in life. It's important for the present, for the future, where we work. Even the one we marry or don't want to marry. Solomon had a few things to say about women in this chapter here. Of course, he had 1,000 wives. I don't know how he was a wise man having 1,000 wives. It says in verse 9, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. I don't know why he ever had the experience of meeting the brawling woman among the 1,000 wives. And if he did, he knows what was going on. But it was all right for Solomon. He'd get someone else to look after him. And the wife couldn't talk to him except he gave permission, which was a great setup, wasn't it? And you'll find also in verse 19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. And I must say, I've met many in life, and I'm glad I wasn't married to some of them. There's no way that I'd marry some unknown women when I heard them talking and the way they get on. And Solomon has wisdom in that way anyway. Where we live, where we worship, all of these things are of great importance for our living. And it's important not only for our physical, material, but spiritual well-being. And Solomon, in this portion of Scripture as before us, he gives the description of a person. And that person and the way of life they chose affect not only their life, but also their future. And my text you'll find is in verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And here's a man, but the way he lives remains in a place of danger and destruction. I want tonight to look with you at something of the decision that he made and why he remains where he is. And the first thing we're going to look at is that there's a wise way mentioned here. It's called in our text the way of understanding. It's a way whereby Solomon is talking about spiritual things, eternal things. And if you study this book of Proverbs, you will find that understanding, wisdom, and so on, it all speaks of Christ and his great salvation. Let me just show you some things. Look at chapter 2, and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So it's got to do with the word of God. Wisdom in this text is speaking of Christ. I'll show you that in a while. And understanding is dealing with the word of God regarding Christ and regarding eternal things. Look at what it says in verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So here you have the one revealed to us in the Word. It's Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, Christ is made unto us wisdom. And here you'll see, if you go through the Scriptures, what it's got to do with understanding also. Look at chapter 3. Here's a portion I love. Verse 13. Happy is that man that findeth wisdom. In other words, happy is that man that findeth Christ. And the man that getteth understanding, who knows of the Scriptures of Christ. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Here you have the wonders of being saved in Christ, of knowing the Savior, and knowing the great salvation that's found in him alone. Look at chapter 4 and verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, whatever it costs, get Christ. And learn of him in the Word. And know of him in the Scriptures of truth. Look at chapter 8. Here's a great chapter regarding wisdom and regarding Christ. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Look at verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. And here, if you find righteousness, you find it in Christ, the righteous one. You don't find righteousness anywhere else, all in Christ. And by faith in Christ alone. Let me give you one more. I think I've given sufficient to show what it means. Look at chapter 9 and the verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So here is the Lord setting before us in these words that are the opposite with all that's foolish and folly and fools. And it's got to do with knowing a particular person and knowing that particular knowledge of salvation. And that's what it means to gain knowledge and understanding, is to know Christ and to know him in the Word and love him in the Word. It's therefore speaking of knowing him who is the way. They wander out of the way. When men wander out of the way, they wander away from Christ. But Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the way of the cross. You'll find in Hebrews chapter 10 what the writer says there in the verse 16. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. So the true believer can no more deny the word than deny himself. The mark of the covenant people, the word is written in their hearts. And the man that saved will go by the book and live by the book. And when he departs from the book, it's an evidence he's not saved. Look what he says in the verse 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You see, only God can really forget. Men may say they forgive, but they'll never forget. But the Lord can forgive and forget. That's the wonder of God's salvation. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. That is a new way, freshly slaughtered, different from the Day of Atonement you find in Leviticus 16, where the high priest went in that one day, offering a sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. That was now abrogated and taken out of the way, because Christ had died, Christ had suffered and shed his precious blood, paid the price of redemption in full, so sinners could have forgiveness of sins, everlasting forgiveness, perfect forgiveness, and have righteousness that's Christ's righteousness, which is perfect righteousness and everlasting righteousness, and can never be lost, never become unrighteous, for it's not his righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness imputed to the believer. And here is the way of understanding, knowing what it is to be in Christ and to be saved in him, to know what it is to be in the Savior eternally. So it speaks of the one who shed his precious blood to make a way back to God, that sinful men and women might know his great salvation. That's the way of spiritual enlightenment and truth, revealed by the Holy Spirit through the Word. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can find this way except God reveal it to him by his Spirit in the Word. And that leads to this straight way, and leads men to the way that leads to glory, and know what it is to be in Christ. It's also called the way of holiness in Isaiah 35. That the way for a man knoweth whom in that earth therein. But it's the way of redemption, the way of salvation. And of course, without holiness, says Hebrews 12, that no man shall see the Lord. So when you wander away from this way, you're wandering away from all of God's blessings and goodness and salvation and grace. And you're wandering away from the things of God. The knowledge of this road does not come by natural intellect or virtuous living or what you can do. Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. And man left to himself will never seek God. Romans 3 says, there's none that seeketh God. There's none that goeth after him. Man left to himself will choose hell rather than heaven. Always. He goes the way contrary to the Lord. And the reason is because the God of this world, as 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. There's a spiritual dimension to this, which I'll show you later on in this text. And here's the important thing, that man left to himself will never understand. You remember how the parable the Lord gave in Matthew chapter 13, there are seven parables in that particular chapter. And the parable of the sower and the seed. And he says regarding the seed that falls on good ground, it falls on four different grounds, the same seed. But only one brings forth truth and life. Verse 23 says, but he receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Zwingli, the great Swiss reformer, he said this. He said, the way of serving God is to be found in his word alone. To hang upon every utterance of God alone is true religion. So when you turn away from this way, you turn away from the truth and turn away from Christ. And that's what's involved in this way of understanding. I was just recalling, I was doing this sermon. My wife's mother was in hospital one time. And so this lady lying beside her, she came out of bed. So she asked the nurse, would you give this woman a book to read? Her brother wrote several books. Many of the older people here remember William Weir of the Whack. Well, that was my wife's uncle and her brother of her mother, and she gave her one of these books. So the nurse took the book over and gave it to her. But after a wee while, she told the nurse, throw that in the bin. Didn't want to read it. But she died a few days later. And wondered, was it a wise thing to turn away that which would tell you of spiritual things and eternal things and to reject it? That's what they do. They turn away. They turn away from the truth. They turn away from life. Have you a personal understanding of this way tonight? Are you on the way? In the book of Acts, you'll read about the people who were the people of the way. That's how they're referred to. The people of the way of salvation, the way of Christ, the way of understanding, the way of faith and trust in the Savior. And that's why it's so important that you know Christ. If you go back again to the book of Proverbs, and you look there at chapter 8, what it says of Proverbs, you'll find it's got something important to say regarding God's salvation. Look at chapter 8, for example, and 35 and 36. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Or if you like, all those that hate me love hell, or choose hell. So this is the wise way of understanding. And that's why these people here in this text, they wander out of the way. They turn away from it. They turn away from Christ and refuse his great salvation. So this is the way of understanding. Secondly, there's also the wanderer's way. What's it say about them? The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man who wanders out of the way of understanding does so through carelessness, negligence, determination to reject Christ and his salvation. Oh yes, he must have heard about the way of understanding. He must have heard the way that sinners can be saved. And many, because of its simplicity, understand sometimes what it is to be saved. I remember pointing a man to Christ many years ago in Cookstown. And he said, Mr. Stewart, he says, it's so simple, I missed it for years. Aye, when the God opens your eyes, it's simple. And when God shows you your need of Christ, it's a different thing. But so many reject the way of salvation, even knowing that they need to be saved. There's some even meant to be saved and meant someday to come to Christ. You see, not everyone that ends up in hell does so in ignorance. They all choose to go there. There's a man in this church, and him and my wife were talking one day. I didn't know the family background, but they knew them well. And this woman had been brought up in gospel preaching. And she said in a sarcastic way, her backside was flattened, sitting on church pews and gospel pews and all this sort of thing. And she knew the gospel back to front. She says, all I need is 1 minute before I die and take it right with God. But unfortunately, she took a massive stem bleed and didn't get the minute to come to Christ. Sad, isn't it? People who know the need to be saved, the way to be saved, but they wander out of the way, either by carelessness, either by negligence, either by just determination to not to come to Christ, to trust the Savior for salvation. Some thought that plenty of time, like Esau, brought up, well, they give the judgment of charity a Christian home. No, there were many times there wasn't much Christianity about it. There was plenty of carnality about it. But he esteemed the things of God of no value. He sold his birthright. And then, remarkably, it says he sought it with tears and found it not. He made a decision, and that decision was for eternity, to reject God and reject salvation. And it's a sad thing when men and women who were nurtured in the gospel and careless about their welfare, their souls live and die without Christ. Timothy knew the scriptures from an early age and knew what it was to be saved in Christ and trusted the Savior. But there are many not like him. You'll find Jehoram, who was the son of Jehoshaphat, and the grandson of Asa, godly men, good men. You'll find about him in 2 Chronicles and chapter 21. And it says in verse 4, "Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old and began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab the wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord." And he was a man who made a decision. He had a godly upbringing. He didn't want God's salvation. It says about him further down that chapter, "And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the way of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like the whoring of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren, thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until the bowels fall out by reason of sickness of the day." And here was what God was going to do. God didn't miss what he had done. God knew what he had done. God knew his wickedness. This man chose a different way. And you'll find that was fulfilled in the verse 18 through the 20. He was a man who, because of his sickness, he was slain by the Lord. 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchre of the kings. A decision he made. He wandered out of the way. He departed from God. He forgot God and his word. And the Lord dealt with him in his sin. Selfishness, and pride, determination. Remember the people of Israel? The Lord said, "You would not come, that you might have life. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way," says Isaiah 53 and verse 6. And here's man left to himself in this way of sinning and going in that way. And it matters not what's involved. Turning away from Christ. 125th Psalm, verse 5 says, "As for such as turn aside onto their crooked ways, God shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity." And man makes that determined decision. You have it set forth before you there in the book of Hebrews, and chapter 10. Look at verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." This is not church absenteeism. This is people turning away from God, turning away from Christ, deliberately saying no to Christ. "For if we sin willfully," that's what they do, "and they sin knowledgeably, after that receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." In other words, if you reject the once and for all sacrifice of Christ on the cross, there's no other sacrifice. There's no other remedy for your sins. There's no other way of forgiveness. So here's a people willfully, knowledgeably, here's the apostate who turns away from Christ, rejects God's salvation. "And for them there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment and very indignation, which shall defile the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." It's an awful thing to die without mercy. You die in wrath. You die in anger of God. And so there's a way that seems right on to a man, the scriptures tell us. But they end thereof in the ways of death. They miss the way of understanding. They go their own way. And Proverbs 3 says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Do you remember? Have you ever read Bunyan's Progress, Pilgrim's Progress? You should if you haven't. It's one of the next books to the Bible. Have you ever in Bedford? My daughter took me there one time. There's a great museum, and you see the things that influenced Bunyan and what he did. And you remember, if you read that book, how as Bunyan was walking along, these two men jumped over the wall, Mr. Formulist and Mr. Hypocrisy. They came from the land of vain glory. And had they walked with Bunyan for a while, until they came to the hill of difficulty. And one went to the left, the way of danger. The other went to the right, the way of destruction. Bunyan never saw them again. They thought they could get to heaven God's way, but they chose the wrong way. They refused the way of the word. There's also the way of materialism. There are some people, if they had the choice of being rich or being saved, they'd rather be rich. But such a man is a fool. For the Lord Jesus said, what should it profit a man? If you gain the whole world, that's something you'll never do. You may gain a good part of it, but you'll never gain the whole world. But you can lose your own soul. And that is a worse loss than anything you can ever lose. It's to lose your soul, because it's an eternal loss. Not just a temporary thing. It's eternal. And there are people, if the chance to win money, they would have that. But they should remember what the proverb says, that riches profit not in the day of wrath. You cannot buy your way to heaven, you cannot buy your way out of hell. They profit not in the day of wrath. And there are some that rather fill their belly with the booze of this world than drink of the water of life and come to Christ. They rather have such company that the word of God would disagree with. Look at chapter 23 of the Proverbs. Listen to verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers. Winebibbers are drunkard. The Septuagint translates the word drunkard in the New Testament, the Greek translation of the scriptures, that Christ was a winebibber. It means like a tippler. He was always at the drink. He was a glutton. If you read Deuteronomy, you'll find that such a son was a rebellious son. And if they said about Christ, he's a rebellious son. Well, those who are drunkards are rebellious sons. Be not among them, he said, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. He says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of the eyes, they that tarry long at the wine. And they go on their way. And some of us were brought up in atmospheres like that. We used to go down, I remember going down as wee nipper at 10 o'clock on a Friday and Saturday night to watch the fights outside the pub beside us. Some boys got fighting on. But they got a lot of drink in them and thought they could fight. Then they met somebody who could fight. They ended up laying on the ground, their blood running out of their nose and mouth and ears and so on. We used to watch this every Friday and Saturday night when I was brought up. And that's how you lived in the area I was brought up in. You fought, you gambled, you drunk. That was life. Oh, but it's far better to be in Christ and to know God's salvation. Know what it is to be in Christ, to be saved, is a wonderful thing. My, that those people never would go to hear the gospel. Never would go to hear about God's salvation. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 15 and verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. The word despises means to reject as vile and worthless, that don't want God's salvation. And here's what it is, to reject Christ, reject God's salvation. They're not wise, says the proverb. They don't believe in the soul or God or eternity. They live for a day, for the material things. They care not for their souls. They are those, as Jeremiah says, who love to wander. They wander away from Christ. This is the way of life for many. And they don't want God's salvation. I was just thinking, I was preparing this, and Phil will remember this, the day we opened the new church, Sellop Chapel in Liverpool. It's just facing Everton's ground. And there was a crowd of boys at Waste Ground, young men in their 20s and women. They all had the same colour of hair, dyed their hair. And they were singing as we were opening the church, we don't want your Jesus. We don't want your Jesus. And they were singing this as they went in. We were opening the church in Liverpool. Didn't want Christ. Didn't want God's salvation. What an awful thing it is to wander aimlessly in this life, die in your sin, out of understanding without Christ. So is the way of understanding the wise way. There's the wanderer's way in sin. Thirdly, it's the way of death. Look what it says. It says in chapter 21 and verse 16, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." You see, we are born into this world, we're born in sin. Psalm 51 verse 5 says we are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. There's potential for every one of us to go to the very depths of debauchery and sin. There's no divine spark in man. Man is totally depraved. From the crown of the head to the foot, there's nothing in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It's a description of that's foul, filthy. It speaks of man and his sin. That's what he is. And when we're born into this world, we're born into this congregation of the dead. We're born spiritually dead. You go through all the water you like when a child, it will not make them any better. It will not remove original sin or actual sin. I used to dedicate children. I used to bring them before the people and pray that the people would pray for this child as he grows up and become to know Christ. But we're born into the congregation of the dead. That's where we are, by birth into this world. And if we refuse God's way, then we remain in this death, in spiritual death, as a condition of all who are not saved. Paul could write to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "You have they quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Lord could talk to the disciples and say, "Let the dead bury their dead." In other words, let them that are spiritual dead die, bury those that are physically dead. Your business is not to lament about with that, but to preach the gospel. And preach the good news of the gospel. Again, if you turn to that chapter 8 of Hebrew of Proverbs there, "All that hate me, they love death." They want to stay in that condition, and they want to die in that condition. Remember, as the first psalm reminds us, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But their choice is to reject God's way and keep on in their sin, under Satan's sway, under Satan's snare, that he may snare them for hell. They choose death, and they live for such. Every person who rejects Christ as their Savior and refuses to accept God's way of salvation decides for themselves the company of the ungodly and the caverns of the damned. That's put very bluntly to you. Because the word used here for death is not the normal word for death in the Hebrew. It's connected with spiritual death and eternal death. The word that's used here is used seven times in the Old Testament. Seven times dead, sorry, and one time deceased. And you have that if you look over at Isaiah 26 and the verse 14. It says, "They are dead, that they shall not live." They are deceased. That's the word that's used here in the Hebrew for the word dead there. "They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, made all their memory test." What does that mean? Does that mean they'll not go in the resurrection? No, it doesn't. The word that's used here is used of satanic influence. It's used with the same word for giants. And you have in Genesis 6 and 4, the giants on the earth, when the sons of Elohim came and mixed with them, and there was satanic influence. And the wickedness of the earth grew exceedingly, and the wickedness of man's mind was wicked continually, and God destroyed it. Well, the word that's used there for giants is similar to the word used here. One man I was reading talks, there was an eruption. The word I-R-R-U-P-T-I-O-N. It speaks of violence, of an influence, something that would be wicked in its nature, a violent entry. And it's dealing with those who were giants in the land, who were under the attack or under the influence of Satan, who opposed after the flood, They came to Canaan and opposed the people of God entering Canaan. And what they could do in life in the power of Satan, they could do great things and oppose the work of God. But when it came to death, they were like all other men. They couldn't rise from the dead. They have no power to lift themselves out of the grave. And they have no power to lift themselves out of hell. And that's what that verse is speaking about. All they'll rise up for the day of judgment. But they had no power once they died. It showed the Lord Jesus Christ that he was who he said he was, the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. From the realm where all men are powerless, he was all powerful. And showed that he had completed the work of redemption in full and paid the price in full of redemption by the shedding of his blood. And these men may have power in life under Satan's power to oppose the work of God. But they have no power when it comes to death and in hell. Also interesting, you'll have the land of Bashan and Og. Here were the land of the giants who opposed Israel. And then the 22nd Psalm, the Messianic Psalm, first meet people that are noted for opposing Christ were the bulls of Bashan. Heady, headstrong, proud people who opposed God's way, who wouldn't go God's way, but chose another way and chose the way of destruction. Remember how the Lord Jesus in Matthew 23, wasn't it? He talked about the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites. And they would go to all parts of the world to make one proselyte. And in doing so, they make their converts twice more the sons of hell. Well, that's the force of the word that's used here for death. This is the congregation of the death. And it's among those who are the sons of Hades, as they're called. Sons of hell, with no escape and no future. The Lord Jesus said to those same Pharisees in that chapter, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That's the force of the congregation that's mentioned here. It's the congregation of men and women under Satan's power who reject God and salvation. And they're lost forever in hell. You know, my friend, you have these mentioned in the Bible. If you turn to the little book of Jude, you will see a copy of them. Look at what it says in Jude and in the verse 10, 11, I think it is. Jude verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Here is the first attempt of man-made religion. They didn't want God, didn't want a salvation. So they're going about to establish his own religion. Here is a man also ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Balaam knew the way of salvation. Balaam was God's spokesman. But he wasn't saved. He prayed he may die the death of the righteous. He died the death of an apostate. Lost forever. And they're going after the gainsaying or the criticism or the opposing of Korah, one of the priesthoods. Who opposed the work of God and the word of God. And it says about them, they are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And in verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares who were foreordained of this condemnation, ungodly men. And here you have men who chose their way, a way opposing God. You know, the Lord sets before men the way of life and the way of death. And he says, choose life. And if you want to get out of this congregation of dead at your end, if you're not saved, and you're going to be in for all eternity, under the power of Satan and sin, the only way out is Christ. The only deliverer is Christ. The only savior is Christ. And knowing him and his great and wonderful salvation. If you come to Christ, you enter a different congregation. It's called the congregation of the righteous. You don't have to stay in this congregation of the dead. There's another congregation, the congregation of the righteous. You don't have to stay in this family of the damned. There's the family of God, found by faith in Christ. You don't have to stay in the broad road that leads to destruction. There's a living way. It's found in Christ. It's all got to do with your relationship to the Lord Jesus. Are you accept him or reject him? Are you come to him and trust him? Or else you go on in your sin and live and die without Christ. If you want to know what it is in the church of the firstborn, you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. Not a sin when a sinner comes by faith to Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved and be in Christ. Many years ago, I was over in England, and I'm racking my brain to trying to find out why. I remember going to constitute the work in Tavistock. And then I think after that, there was a preaching tour I did for the Forward Movement around the works in England and Wales. I think that's what it was. Mr. Fleming was with me in those days. And Mr. Smith met us and there and took us around some of the places in that part of the south of England. He took us into a little hamlet that was off, I think, the main Exeter Road. And it's like I'm back in time hundreds of years. It was a little hamlet, and in this was a room where John Wesley, like the Shunammite's room for Elisha, he could call in here, stay there, and it's just as it was in Wesley's day. And it's a remarkable thing. And then he took us on around to Billy Bray's place. Billy Bray was a tin miner and got wonderfully saved and became a good testimony for Christ. He said when he walked, one foot said hallelujah, the other foot said praise the Lord. So that's how he walked. He was the means of bringing the Anglican minister to Christ and was saved. His church was called one time the Church of the One Eye. One window. When we were in it, it was the Church of the Five Eyes and five windows. You actually go in and have a service in the place. It's open. And you go and have a service in that place. But I wanted to know where he was buried, so he took me down. I think it was Baldon, the Church of England place was. And there was the Church of England was closed, but it's a massive graveyard. And look around the headstones, and there's some wonderful things on the headstones. People took time to write things on the headstone. And I wrote some of them down, and one of them went like this. It says, she died in faith. What more can words express to soothe our cares or make our sorrows less? Farewell, dear friend, a long farewell, for we shall meet no more till we be raised with Christ to dwell on Zion's happy shore. Not lovely? My friend, will that be your experience? Will it be on Zion's happy shore, or will it be in the caverns of the damned, among the congregation of the dead? Don't wander out of the way. Come to Christ. Trust him. You'll find he's a wonderful Savior. I was saved just the other week there, 60 years ago. Never regretted for a day. Glad I'm saved. Glad I'm in Christ. Glad I know the Savior. It's a great thing to be saved and to know Christ. And I trust you'll come to the Savior. You'll heed the exhortation of the word that warns you to flee from wrath to come and flee to Christ by faith and to know his great and wonderful salvation.